Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning, because I got some heavy stuff in the Word of God I want to lay on you for a few minutes. Father, I thank you for the Word. The Bible calls this book a more sure word of prophecy. I can base my life on this book. I can live according to this book. I can have abundance because of this book. I can step into dimensions of experiences in God that I've never dreamed of walking in before because of this book. Holy Spirit, you're the great teacher. Come now and teach your people. I pray as I minister, whatever I say out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit, you would use it to touch the hearts of your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've been talking about life in the Spirit, being empowered by, sustained by, led by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us, and I'm going to jump into some really heavy teaching this morning about the presence of God versus the power of God. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen to me, child of God, you have a right, a legal right, according to this book, to be led by, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is your birthright as a child of God. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is your seal of salvation. When you got born again, made Jesus the Lord of your life, the person of the Holy Spirit took up residence on the inside of your spirit man. So the reason we've been doing this series is because we need to all understand that we have this incredible person called the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, distinct yet one. Three separate persons, yet one in essence, one in power. This person of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent us on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that empowered the New Testament church, that wrought signs, wonders, and miracles, and certified that the gospel was true all through the Scripture, this same Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's the same Spirit. We do not have another spirit. The Bible says the faith that we have was once, according to Jude, delivered to the saints. You've got the same faith. You got the same Holy Ghost. You got the same power that was in Jesus, that was in the apostles. It is also in you. So I have a right. I have a right to expect the power of the Holy Spirit to be demonstrated in my life on a daily basis. I have a right to expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. I have a right in major decisions of my life to hear the voice of the Spirit of God in my heart saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we need to understand that that is our right. Now, when the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the word led there is an agricultural term. It's an agricultural term because it was the word that was used whenever a farmer would go out and would put a rope around an ox's neck. And he would take that ox and he would lead him out of the stall. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say led. So you would take this rope, you would wrap it around. Now everybody in here knows that an ox is a very powerful animal. Right? Very powerful animal. You cannot pull an ox out of a stall. Anybody that's ever dealt with a donkey in here knows you can't make a donkey do nothing, right? Until you get them trained right. But an ox is a very powerful being. You cannot pull him out of the stall. But if you have come into relationship with this animal is used to you, akin to you somehow, through relationship, through touch, through interaction, then a farmer who's in relationship with that animal can do the oddest thing. He can go out there and take a rope and he can tie it ever so gently. He doesn't even have to snug it down. He just put it around the rope and he can just begin to walk and the ox will follow him. Why is that? Because the ox, even though it is stronger, even though it has a will of his own, is yielding to another person that is leading him. For as many, watch now, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, for as many as yield, If you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, I know you've got a right. Listen to me. You have a right to be led by the Holy Ghost. You have a right for the power of God to be demonstrated in your life. But just because you have a right does not mean that you will experience. But you have to yield your will to His will. Not my will, but yours be done on the earth, O Lord. And so you have to yield to it, just like this ox would have to yield to the farmer. And so the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, it implies a yielding. They are the sons of God. But when you look at the Greek construction of that verse in Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, it doesn't say for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. It actually says in Greek, it reverses the language, puts the wording in a different order. It says for as many by the Spirit of God are led. Now, the King James, New King James, most of the English translation says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. But in the Greek translation, it's for many as by the Spirit of God are led. I'm going to say it again because y'all haven't woke up yet, and so you haven't caught it yet. Notice that the text in your English Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Say that out loud, please. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. One more time. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. In the Greek, it says, for as many by the Spirit are led. In other words, what the Greek construction of the sentence does is it takes the person of the Holy Spirit and puts it in front. So notice the grammar does matter here. For as many as by the Spirit. That's what the Greek translation says. For as many as by the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Ghost has got to be out in front. Look at me. I know you have a right to expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. You have a right to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have a right to expect God to do signs and wonders and miracles through your life. But it will never happen, child of God, until you understand that the Holy Ghost has got to be the leader in your life, and you have got to yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that'd be a good place to put a praise on that and say amen to it. So, what I want to do for a few minutes is I want to talk to you about the presence of God. I want to talk to you about the power of God. I want to talk to you about all of that. And I'm going to do some things for the media team that's not going to be in the notes for just a little bit. So you're not going to have these in the notes on the website. These are things you're going to have to actually write down. The first thing I want to tell you about the presence of God and the power of God is that there is a difference. A lot of people think the presence of God and the power of God are synonymous, and they're not. However, what we want is the presence of God. Did you know if you have the presence of God, you don't have to worry about the power of God? The presence of God will always produce the power of God. The book of Habakkuk says the presence of God is in His hand. In other words, wherever His presence is, there His hand works. Moses, when he was walking with God, the Bible says what distinguished him from the children of Israel is the scripture says that he sought God's presence, His ways, where the children of Israel always depended on His acts. Now, I want the signs and wonders and miracles. I want tongues, interpretation of tongues, and manifestations of the Holy Spirit according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. I want those things. I expect those things. But I want to tell you right now, I'm not putting my faith in those things. I'm not chasing a tongue. I'm not chasing an interpretation of tongue. I'm not chasing a prophecy. Thank God I've been bringing prophets in to stir you up, but I'm not chasing a prophecy. I don't have to live by what another man said, God said over my life. I can be led by the Holy Ghost on an individual level. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Right? I'm not chasing the thing. In fact, Jesus said about a person who chases that, He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign and a wonder. So listen, when we think about revival, when we think about the move of God, when we think about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, don't put God in a box. Don't think just because God didn't heal blind eyes over here that you can't have revival. I'm telling you, the presence of God is the most important thing. And the thing that's got me stirred up about this is because what's being experienced in Asbury Theological Seminary. They don't have necessarily demonstrative, charismatic worship like you and I do on Sunday morning. And it's not that I'm against charismatic worship. I believe in that. But it's more liturgical. It's more liturgical. Don't put God in a box, because God doesn't care if you like liturgical music or charismatic music. God's not into God. Don't put God in a certain style, because it could be the next wave of the Holy Ghost that the church is going to experience is going to be unlike anything that you and I have ever experienced before. And I believe that it's not necessarily going to be so power driven, is what I'm trying to say, as much as it'll be presence driven. In revivals in the past, we always determined them, measured them by the demonstrations of power. Well, you know, A.A. Allen, I promise you I'm preaching, even though I haven't got to my scripture yet. I'll get there, right? Some of y'all looking at me like, why hasn't he read the Bible? You're holding the Bible in your hand looking at it. I promise I'm getting there. A.A. Allen and other great men of God in those days, the times of Oral Roberts and things of that nature, it was revivals were determined by the manifestations of healings or the manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, when the presence of God comes, the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit will come with it. But we don't seek the gift as proof that God's in the house. The presence of God has to become more important than just the demonstration of power. And I'm going to tell you why, because there's a difference between the two. Let me give you some differences. The presence of God is what we need to live. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. He's talking about his presence. He says you cannot live by just power demonstrations. You can't live from word to word. From one charismatic service to another charismatic service. You can't live that way. The presence of God, it is in him that I live. It is in him that I move. It is in him that I have my being. The presence of God has to become more important than anything in your life. Again, it goes back to us putting the Holy Spirit out front. The presence of the person of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because it is what we live by. I live according to the presence of God. The presence of God is what nourishes you. The Bible says there's fullness of joy in his presence. The Word of God says there's peace, come on somebody, in his presence. You're happy in his presence. What is being experienced in Asbury, and I'm actually going to try to drive up there this week and just set in it myself, but what's been experienced, Pam and I have been in this before, where the presence of God is so thick, you just go in and you just sit there. You don't even know what to say. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Because there's something that the presence of God will do for you that the power of God won't do for you. Right? Come on, how many are hungry for his presence? I'm like David this morning. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Give me your presence above everything else. I want your presence. Right? The presence of God is what keeps you. It's what sustains you. It's what nourishes you. And by the way, the presence of God, not the power of God, is what transforms you. I am changed, according to the Bible, from glory to glory. I'm not changed from miracle to miracle. In fact, I have seen a lot of miracles take places in churches, and it doesn't change the character of anybody sitting in the building. But you let the glory, the manifest, tangible presence of Almighty God come into a place, and people who have sin in their life will not have to be preached to. They will automatically humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, and they will repent of every known sin in their life. Nobody will have to say a word. Nobody will have to talk about it. They would just happen. Why? Because when the presence of God comes in, you cannot stay the same that you were when you came into the building. It changes everything about you. Right? It's the reason we have so many carnal Pentecostal Christians. They've been in great churches and experienced power, but very few of them have spent much time in God's presence. Can I keep on going? Yes. Let me talk to you about the presence of God. some more, or the power of God for just a moment. Let me go over here to the power of God. The power of God is not for you, but for others. No demonstration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is for you. If God uses you to speak in tongues and interpret tongues, prophesy, work a miracle, operate in the gifts of healings or the gift of faith, it's never for you. The Bible says it's for the profit of all. So the demonstration of power is not for you. It's for others around you. So if God uses you in signs and wonders and miracles, don't get the big head because it's not for you. It's because God has chosen, and you ought to be humbled by that, that God has chosen to allow you to be the vessel upon whom and through whom the power of God is in demonstration for somebody else who needs deliverance, healing, help for their hurting moment or whatever that might be. Thank God that God has used you. So when you say to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to yield to you, you need to understand that in His presence there is power, but the power is not for you. The power is always for somebody else. And these signs shall follow those who believe. It's always for somebody else. Go look at the signs. Acts chapter 2. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. The purpose of the power is for other people. It's not for you. But what we've done in the charismatic church is we have people running around wanting to be prophets because they think it gives them some kind of power to elevate their life. No, my friend, what it does is it empowers you to elevate somebody else's life. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is to profit all. Right? So power is not for you. It's always for other people. Secondly, power doesn't change you. Power doesn't change you. You say, well, yes, it does, Pastor. No, it doesn't, because the children of Israel spent 40 years in the desert with the power of God in demonstration from daylight to midnight. They had to have no electricity because at night when they walked out, there was a fire. A pillar of fire in the sky. They didn't have to worry about heat because there was a pillar of fire in the sky. In the morning, in the desert, they didn't have to worry about the blazing sun because there was a pillar of cloud that provided shade for them. They did not have to worry about food. Every morning they could go out. There was a ribeye on the ground because God rained manna down from the sky. They didn't have to worry about the Egyptians chasing them down because God would just split the sea. They could walk over on dry ground. They didn't have to worry about where they'd get their water because God would take a stick, put it in the water, and turn the bitter water sweet. Yet that generation who saw the demonstration of the power of God died in the wilderness because of unbelief, because the power did not change them. So, child of God, quit chasing power. Quit chasing power. Quit trying to run from one powerful experience to the next. Learn how to host the presence of God. Learn how to host the presence of God. Learn how to host the presence of God. And I'm not talking about just in our church services. Learn how to host the presence of God when you're out walking like Richard Grogan. Learn how to host the presence of God if you're at a football game. Learn how to host the presence of God when you gather with your family. Just be a vessel that says, Lord, here am I. Send your presence on my life. Holy Spirit, get out in front of me. I yield to the presence of God in my life. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout in this room. The power of God does not change you. In the wilderness, they saw the power of God up on Mount Sinai, but yet they built a golden calf. No wonder we have churches, they have demonstrations of power and so much immorality right in the camp. How is that possible? How is that possible? Preachers build mega churches and see the power of God in demonstration to take the gospel to the world, and yet they live in the immorality they're in because the power of God doesn't change you. The power of God doesn't change you. In fact, I'm going to say this to you. You can live in, or you can experience rather, the power of God and be totally backslid. I'm going to say that again for everybody in the back of the room. You can experience the power of God and still be totally backslid. But you can't live in the presence of God and stay in a backslidden state. You can't stand that. The power of God, I got to get back to my notes, doesn't change you. I'm going to prove it. You say, oh, that's old stuff. That's Old Testament stuff, preacher. Okay, what about Jesus? Jesus was the manifestation of God in the flesh. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He turned water into wine. He did 34 miracles that are recorded in the four Gospels. 34 miracles recorded in the four Gospels. John comes along and says, had all the miracles that he'd done been recorded, all the books of the world could not have contained it. So he did so many miracles, so much that nobody could keep up with recording it all. Jesus was a miracle worker. Yet, whenever he preached something that they didn't like, he'd turn around and everybody would have left, and he'd turn around and say to his disciples, are you going to leave also? When he died on the cross, there was a couple of women and one man, John. Thank God for women who'll stand at the foot of a cross. Because there was no men to be found at the foot of the cross except John. If the power of God is what changes you, then why did Peter cuss a little girl out around a fire? He had been with Jesus. Peter himself had even walked on water. But walking on water don't change your character. But whenever Peter came into an encounter with the presence of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, that coward became the proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2 and turned the world upside down. Why is that? Because the presence of God will do for you what the power of God will not. The power of God doesn't change anybody. So here at the Bend, we want to see power. But we're not looking for power. We're looking for it, but we're not chasing it. We're looking for it, but we're not chasing it. We believe in signs and wonders and miracles, but that's not what we're after. We're after the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit in our midst. The power of God doesn't nourish you. The power of God doesn't maintain you. The power of God doesn't feed you. Write this down. The power of God stirs you. The presence of God cancels you. The power of God stirs you. The presence of God cancels you. I want you to listen now. I want you to listen to me now. Listen with the ears of the Holy Ghost. Whenever the power of God is running through a service, people clap and jump and dance and run and buck. The power of God, everybody's affected by power differently. You don't believe me? I'm glad you guys don't believe me. All right, guys, go ahead and bring me the taser from the back there. I need 3 volunteers. We're going to show you how power affects everybody differently. I've seen some people take a taser and just stand there. I've seen other people take a taser and lose all bodily function. Power affects everybody differently. So the power of God will come into a service and some people might act weird. It doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is weird. It just means they are. But you don't judge, listen, the presence of God or the person of the Holy Spirit based on the reaction of a human being. Because everybody responds differently to the power of God. Some people will weep, some will dance, some will shout, and some of that based on the background that they come out of. He who's been forgiven much loves much. You take a woman caught in, or a woman who's been an adulterer and a fornicator all of her life, and she's been told there's no hope for her, she's the outcast of Israel, and that she'll never be nothing but trash, and she meets Jesus, she's got to come in. She can't just come with her hands lifted up. She can't just come to an altar and stand there. She's got to come and bring the most expensive thing she has in her life. She's got to come and bring an alabaster box and break it and pour it over his feet and then sit there and cry and weep and dried away. That looks crazy to me. That looks crazy to me. Especially if she's a dark woman. Come on, son. That's my daughter-in-law over there. Y'all know how they are about the hair. Yet she's going to wash his feet with her tears and dry his feet with her hair. You take a man like Zacchaeus, who's always been looked over, no pun intended, looked over every day of his life because he's a short man. He's disregarded by everybody in his community. But you let Jesus come walking through town, and guess what Zacchaeus will do? He'll climb a tree. That sounds crazy to me. Come on, I feel something rolling up on me right now. The power of God will stir you up, and it'll make people do crazy things sometimes. Sometimes the power of God will make people fall like dead men to the ground. Sometimes the power of God will make people run. You say, well, no, that's biblical. Yes, it is. The power of God came on Elijah. He girded up his loins and outran a chariot. The power of God would come on people in the Old Testament and they would fall like dead men and dead women to the ground. Don't try to judge the presence of God based on the manifestation of some kind of power. Listen to me. The power of God always stirs you. I'm going to help you now. The presence, listen. The presence of God cancels you. No flesh can glory in his presence. So one of the ways I know that what's going on in Asbury Theological Seminary is a touch of God is because they don't have anything charismatic and powerful being an expression. What happened is they were in a chapel service, and what nobody's telling you is that there was a group of students that started meeting in September, a prayer group that met every single day. They called themselves the Furnace. And they prayed for one thing, the fire of God to come down on the mountains. Ha! And all of a sudden, in a chapel service, with nobody leading it, here comes Jesus walking in the room. And you know what happened? Everybody got quiet. Do you know why? The power of God stirs you. The presence of God cancels you. You'll know the glory has come into the room when no flesh. That's the reason a while ago I told Adam, no music. Because when it really happens, folks, I'm telling you, when it gets really strong, it will cancel you. It shuts all flesh down. Everybody looks at your neighbor and say, this is a good teaching. I hope you're learning some of this, right? Can I continue for just a moment? Hallelujah. The heat is on and it's burning me up here. Turn the air on. Whoever. Listen, entering into and out of God's power can be done easily. Doesn't take a lot. But entering into and out of God's presence is a different thing. In the Old Testament, there was a prescribed order of how those priests had to come into the presence of God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. There is a process, and it's hidden in the tabernacle structure. There's a process to the presence of God. Nobody in here is going to just run up to Washington, D.C. Steve Kent ain't going to run up to Washington, D.C., knock on the front door of the White House and say, I'm here to see the president, and them open the door, him run right up the stairs into the Oval Office and just bust in and say, what's up? Nobody in here is going to go to the King of England now. So weird to say that, isn't it? To the King of England now and just bust up and listen, walk into the room of the King of England and say, what's up, bro? I've always wanted to meet you all the every day of my life. Always, what's up, bro? Are y'all listening to me? That is not how it works. Why? Because presence requires protocol. There's you something to tweet. Presence requires protocol. Is something buzzing over here? It's a vent. Fix that vent. I love it. The enemy will do anything to distract. Event. It's of the devil. Right? Right. Everybody say, presence requires protocol.
Presence requires
protocol. So there is a process to coming into the presence of God. The presence of God is different. You can't enter into it lightly. You can't carry your baggage into it. You get your baggage off and you come into the presence of God differently. Let me give you one last thing and then I'll try to wrap it up. Anyone can be used in the demonstration of power. The power of God stirs you, but the presence of God cancels you. Anyone can be used in the demonstration of power, even Balaam's donkey. So look at me. If somebody has a demonstration of power, I don't care what kind of sign gift it is, if it does not line up with this right here, you have a right. The Bible says, everybody says, well, we just don't believe Christians ought to be judgmental. Well, that's dumb. The Bible says, he who is spiritual judges all things. It's not talking about that old quick judgment where you just quickly condemn somebody you don't even know. The Bible says, judge not, you be not judged. That's krino, the Greek word krino, to judge quickly. Without any information. You just look at somebody and you just make a judgment. The Bible condemns that. But what the Bible doesn't condemn is a Christian judging all things. Diakrino. It's the Greek word diakrino there in Corinthians. Diakrino means to weigh out. To weigh out everything. The Bible encourages you to judge . So, if somebody has a manifestation of the Spirit, I don't care if it's in this church. I don't care if it's a preacher in this pulpit. Listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost and weigh it against this right here. Right? Why is that so important? Because the presence of God is so necessary. And we've got to be careful that we host the presence of God. I really intended, and I've got notes, to teach on the gifts of the Spirit. So I guess Wednesday night we'll come back and I'll actually talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I was trying to get to that today. But I really have felt stirred all week long that we need to understand that we have a right to be led by the Holy Spirit and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to get in front of us. Not get up every day and say, okay, Holy Spirit, help me after you've gotten in trouble. No, put the Holy Ghost in front. Put the presence of God in front. Be like Moses, I don't want to go if you're not going. If you go, I'll go. But if you're not going, I don't want to go. Put the presence of God in front of everything. So, I have a couple questions for you today. What is it in your life that's keeping you from the fullness of God's presence? Be something as simple as an attitude, something as major as some character flaw. What is it that's keeping you from experiencing the presence of God in your house? Husbands and wives, don't let the devil come in and divide you and destroy you. It's just an attempt to keep you out of the presence of the Lord. Some of us have things in our house, don't need to be in our house. We need to get it out of our house because it's hindering the presence of God in us and for us and through us. Get it out. Get it out. You say, well, everybody else is doing it. I don't care what everybody else is doing. And I can't be the Holy Ghost for you because there might be things the Holy Ghost will tell me is wrong for me that isn't necessarily wrong for you. Now, look at me. If it's in this book and it says it's wrong for everybody. I don't care what your conviction is. Right? But there are some things the Bible doesn't talk about. If you're convicted about it, get it out of your house. make the presence of God a priority. Third question. Who are you in relationship with that hinders the presence of God in your life? That you get in, sometimes you'll get around them and they'll cause you to compromise. Right? Or they, you get around them and they diminish your faith. They work against, they just work against your faith. Work against your experience in God. Who is it? Now, I'm not saying just be ugly and, abolish them to the four corners of the regions of hell and darkness. I'm not saying that. But I am saying you can't be super close with people who hinder your relationship with God. Who is it? What is it in your life that needs to change for the presence of God? Because here's the deal. We'll keep stuff just like it is as long as we experience some power in church. But we're missing out on the fullness of His glory, the presence of God, when there are things in our life, in our house, that hinder us from walking in His presence. Now, the good news is, and I'm done, wherever His presence is, His power there too. Now, when we talk about presence, we're not talking about an ethereal influence in the atmosphere. We're talking about a person. If I go visit the queen, where were you? Well, I was in the presence of the king, a queen or the king. Well, I'm not talking about just the atmosphere. I'm talking about the presence of the person. So when I talk about the presence of Jesus or talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the presence of the person, not just some force in the atmosphere. I can get a force in the atmosphere by going to a secular concert. But it's not the presence of Jesus. Right? But wherever His presence is, there's power. Say that out loud with me, please. Wherever His presence is, there's power. Come on, say it out loud like you believe it. Wherever His presence is, the power. I want to prove it to you in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Turn over there in your Bible. For those of you in the media that's trying to keep up with me today, I'm on page 26 of my notes. I've not even gotten past activating the gifts yet. Luke chapter 5, verse number 17. You guys there? Again, this might not be on the screen, but just rock with me for a moment. Now, it happened on a certain day as He was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Do you know why the power was there? Because Jesus was there. I'm going to ask you again, so now you know the answer. Do you know why the power was there? Because Jesus was there. His presence was there. Right? But did you know if you go down and you continue to read Luke chapter 5, verse 17, 18, 19, and 20, you'll find out that only one person got healed? The power, listen, Jesus was in the room, and wherever Jesus is, His power is. His power was in the atmosphere to heal everybody that was in the building or around Him at that time. But only one person got healed. Do you know why? Well, the Bible tells you who was around Him. I'm trying to show you a principle about the presence of God and the power of God. The Bible tells you who was around Him. Notice what the Scripture says. And there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, sitting by out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. So in the crowd was a lot of unbelief and criticism that did not appreciate the presence of Jesus. Therefore, they could not access the power of God. They did not appreciate the presence of Jesus, so therefore they could not access the power of God. If you don't appreciate the presence of the Lord, doesn't matter what kind of power is available, you'll never be able to touch it. What I want you to see out of this is, look, wherever Jesus is, there's power. Say that with me. Wherever Jesus is, there's power. How many believe he's here right now? I'm going to prove to you he's here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I've got to tell you something. Jesus is in this room right now. Jesus is here. Jesus. See, we don't really believe that. We know we're here. We know preacher's here. But we don't know if Jesus is here. But when you get so convinced of the presence of Jesus that you know what the Word of God teaches, so therefore you know where he is, wherever he is, there is power available to every believer. Right? I'm going to say it again. Jesus is in this room. Jesus is in this room. And when Jesus, when the person, when his presence comes into a place, he brings everything that he is with him. He is power. He is healing. He is deliverance. Come on, somebody. He is a fixer of broken marriages. He is a repairer of broken dreams. He is. This is who Jesus is. So if he's here, everything he is with him. So it's not an issue about necessarily him being here, and it's not even an issue about his power. What's the issue? The issue is the skepticism and the unbelief that is in our hearts. But when I'm convinced that I'm convinced that I'm convinced that I'm convinced that he's here with me right now, and not only is he here, but there's angels here. That visitor you're sitting beside this morning could very well be an angel that you're entertaining unaware, according to your Bible. Angels are here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that angels are in the atmosphere of every church service. Angels are here. Jesus is here. You believe Jesus is here? You believe Jesus is here? What about Kenzie? You believe Jesus is here? You believe Jesus is here? You believe Jesus is here? Do you believe Jesus is here? Do you believe Jesus is here? Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus is here? Do you believe Jesus is here? Well, gather. We got more than two or three right here that's gathered together in his name. So he has got to be in the midst right now. Jesus is here in this room. And if his presence is here, everything that he is and everything that he can do comes with him. Jesus don't leave healing at the throne room. Jesus doesn't leave deliverance at the throne. Jesus hasn't left it at the sapphire seals of heaven's gate. Jesus doesn't leave salvation up there tucked into a little box beside the right hand of the throne. That's not what he is. Whenever Jesus shows up, everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus can do, comes with him. Well, I got good news for you today. If you came in lost, guess what? The Savior is here to save you. If you came in broken, guess what? The Savior's here to heal you. If you came in sick, the Savior's here to make you well. If you came in needing hope, the Savior's here to give you hope. Why? Because Jesus is in the room. And until we get so convinced of that, and here's the deal, he's not just in here. Because he didn't come to just dwell in temples made with hands. He likes it. The Bible says, what? Know you not, you're the temple. Oh my God, here I go now. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which means everywhere you go, he goes, and everywhere he goes, everything that he is goes with him. No wonder Mark said, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll heal the sick. They'll raise the dead. They'll speak with new tongues. Listen, demonstrations of power is not something you have to seek after. It's something that should naturally be coming out of every single Christian under the sound of my voice. Because Jesus is in here. Oh my goodness. Luke 6. Go over to Luke 6. So Luke 5, we see Jesus is there. Everything he is there. There's power to heal everybody. And only one. Everybody say only one. Only one got their miracle. Go over here to Luke chapter 16. And if you can read a few verses and before or after this, Luke 6, verse 19, a few verses before and after verse 19, the Bible says that same power of the presence of the Lord was there to heal everybody. And in verse number 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him. Watch now, and what does it say? What does it say? What does it say? It healed them all. Nobody came to that church service and walked out sick. Nobody came to that church service, walked out demonized. Nobody came to that church service and walked out oppressed or depressed. Nobody. The sad thing is the same power was present in Luke chapter 5 and only one got it, but you come over into another atmosphere. So listen to me. I'm going to teach something about the presence of God. Atmospheres matter. I said atmospheres matter. Atmosphere. So how do we build atmospheres? It's with faith and with expression, with praise, with worship. We enter in his gates with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. We cultivate an atmosphere that is conducive for the presence of Jesus to be experienced in the fullness of his power. I'm preaching better than y'all are amening right now. Right? So atmospheres matter. This is the reason Jesus can be in some churches, can't nobody get touched. And Jesus can go to other churches, and everybody in the room can get set free. And then we have Christians who complain because some churches are having demonstrations of power and other churches aren't. And what they do is they call them of the devil because they don't have it. When Jesus said very clearly, nobody who calls the name, says Jesus is Lord, is accursed. The difference is they cultivated an atmosphere that invited the presence of God so that he could show up in all of his power. Let me tell you something. If we try to cultivate an atmosphere of power, all we'll do is get a bunch of carnal Christians who are chasing signs and gifts. But if we cultivate an atmosphere in our personal life, in our home, and in this building that is an atmosphere that says, Holy Spirit, we want everything that you are and everything that you can do. Holy Spirit, come in and have your way. Holy Spirit, you don't like this? We'll play a different song for you. Holy Spirit, you like this key? We'll play this key for you. Holy Spirit, you like this at the door? We'll do this. And if you cultivate that kind of atmosphere where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You'll see miracles, signs, and wonders like you've never seen before in this place, the presence of God. So everybody needs to go get a book this week and read it, entitled Practicing the Presence of God. This is your homework this week. I could not write a better book than that book. Practicing. How many of you will commit? It's a small book. You can read it. It's a small book. How many of you will commit? This will be your devotion for this week, Practicing the Presence of God. All right, go get that book. Download it. Practicing the Presence of God. And we're going to practice hosting the Holy Spirit. Now I want us to stand in this room. Stand in this room. Worship team, come back up here. Come on, worship team. Shararaba sotore bekitara. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we give the Lord a praise for his word right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They're going to bring all the house lights down. And guys, I even want you to bring the stage lights down if that's possible. The worship team, for just a moment, is just going to spend some time worshiping. We're going to see what God will do. Can we just yield to God for just a few moments? And let's see what God will do. Go ahead, son. Let's practice the presence of God.
myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so
these altars are open if you need to come.
I give myself away so you can use me. So here's my heart. Here's my hands. Oh, take them, Lord, as a sacrifice. I lay it all down on the altar of the Lord. Consume me with fire from on high above. I give myself away.
Yeah.
There's a reason that the Bible says, be still and know. When you're caught up in all the hustle and bustle and chaos is all around, it's hard to discern the presence of God. How many know I'm talking about tonight? But when you just get still is when God reveals the deepness of His presence. So this week, I want to encourage you. Set aside some time in your home. Get away from the kids. Find a quiet place. And just go in there. And here's what I want you to do. I just want you to say, okay, Father, I didn't come to ask you for anything today. I just came to sit with you. I just want to be with you. And then just sit there and be quiet. And be still. And when something comes to your mind and it feels like it's the Holy Spirit, take out a little journal and write down exactly what He said. And then here's what you do. Say, thank you, Lord, for saying that to me. And then just get still again. And He'll speak again. God's a talking God. Just get still. I want you to address your attention to the screen, so if you guys will split here for just a second. We're going to leave on this right here. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And He ordained 12 that they should what? Did He ordain them to go out and do things? No, He ordained them to what? You're called to be with Him. He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth. God can't send you if you're not spending time with Him. Here's the process. Be with Him, be sent forth, check it out, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Where does power come from? The presence of the Lord. Say that. Where does power come from? And I have been ordained. Whew. I have been ordained to be with Him. And the more I'm with Him, the more He can send me out, and the more power will be demonstrated in my life. But what a lot of Christians want to do is they want to go after power so they can say they've been with Him. You just worry about being with Him. He'll worry about the power, right? Your goal this week, be with Him. You say, well, behold it, Pastor. What about all my needs? I have to tell you this. There is a scripture in your Bible that says He knows what you need before you even ask. Right? So really, your need is doing nothing but just driving you to be with Him. That's all it's doing. So go into a quiet place every day for a few minutes and just say, okay, Lord, here am I. We're just going to be together. I don't need to say anything. I just need you to be here with me. And I promise you what's going to happen is the presence of God is going to come and invade that atmosphere where you're at. And you're going to get up from there with direction from the Lord and with power to do what He's called you to do. You believe that? Amen. Lift your hands. I want to bless you as we get out of this place today. Father, I thank You for every person in this room. I pray, Lord, that You would lift up Your countenance over their life, make Your face to shine upon them. I pray, Lord, that You would be gracious to them. I pray, Lord, that You would anoint them with the presence of Your presence from on high. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that grace and mercy would rest upon their life. I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding would be theirs in everything that they do and everything they experience this week. I decree over everybody in this room, they are winners. They are not losers. Thank You, Lord. They are winners. You cause us all to triumph in everything because we are winners in Christ. They are not losers. They're losers. They're healed. They're delivered. They're set free. They've been bought with a price. They're anointed with the power of God from heaven itself. And nothing can stand against them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, listen, I love you. Get out of here. Go have a great Super Bowl Sunday, by the way. And we'll see you Wednesday night. I will be talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit Wednesday night.